from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Jimmy Haslam, D. Haslam, they gave a State of the Browns address down at the fabulous Greenbrier. Daryl Ryder, part of that media contingent, he'll join us at 8 o'clock. They were asked, Jimmy was asked about Deshaun Watson, how he's looking out there. This is what Jimmy had to say.
Well, you can see as well, he's really comfortable and really confident. And I think that has made a big difference this year, immediately coming out comfortable and confident.
I beg your pardon, there was a J, not a D in front of that. That's what D had to say. I beg your pardon on that one. So he's looking confident. So confident, he's talking tough.
What's your motivation?
Just being the best Deshaun Watson can be for this team so we can get that ultimate goal, maximizing my potential and my talent. That's my motivation.
If none of it's proving people wrong, like you rank quarterbacks and...
I give two about the people say.
Spicy. You wanted to examine that.
Well, yeah, because I saw what Mary Kay had written.
Okay.
That he had, I think she used the term expletive-laced commentary with his press conference over the weekend. And not only that, just what you just heard right there, him talking about that he doesn't care what everyone's been saying. It's obviously been a rough go those first 2 years. He's definitely not talking about his second half against Baltimore the way the fans are. I mean, he's essentially saying, you know, this has been really tough, and it feels like, in just listening to him, like frustration on how this has gone. Almost, I don't know if you felt it this way, Kenny. Boy. Like the most honest he's been just about his feelings. Like, he didn't go necessarily into detail about how he got to his feelings. But just, I've never heard him like that the way I heard him this weekend.
Here's how he's trying to block some things out.
I think, honestly, it's really just, you know, blocking out all the honestly, outside. Tough coming in 2 years, different environment, different, you know, different team, different all that. So, you know, you come in and, you know, your character's been mentioned this way, and then, you know, it kind of flip on you, and the biggest thing, you're trying to, you know, get people to like you or improve, but now it's like 2 years in, and if you don't, you know, like me or you have your own opinions, then forget it. It is what it is.
So what do you think he's responding to here?
Well, I think for one, talking about the different situation from obviously Houston to where he is now in Cleveland. Think about it this way. Somebody like Deshaun Watson, who ends up getting drafted 12th overall. I was ready to take him number one, but he goes 12th overall.
Yeah.
He has the success that he has in college. He is the guy, and then you know, and I think all of our fans know, when you draft anybody in Cleveland, fans are ready to embrace you almost fully. You just have to look competent for fans to go nuts. Well, not only was he competent, he was pretty amazing right off the bat in Houston. So initial buy-in, almost 100% in Houston, if not 100%. And he was considered a top five quarterback who could be even better.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, we were wondering, could he be the best quarterback in the NFL? I mean, I remember those arguments that were had. you know, going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. It was like, this is the future of the NFL, these two guys. Everybody thought that. And now think about where he is today. Think about the perception of where he is. Think about the perception of Browns fans. They are very, very divided on Deshaun Watson. If we ran a poll right now, how do you feel about Deshaun Watson? Or do you think he's the quarterback of the future with the Browns? It'd be split, right? Yeah. It would be split. We get the reaction. We see on social media. We see when we open up the phone lines. Anytime you go talk to anybody.
Not to be diabolical about it, but if you just wanted to run a poll, who would you rather have, Deshaun Watson or the old guy? Who would end up winning that poll right now?
It would be split.
It would probably be still favoring Baker. Yes, yeah. It would probably still be favoring him.
Which is crazy. We always, especially in Cleveland, we normally don't care. Once you're gone, you're gone. Once you're here and you're ours.
But
it's not the case with Watson.
Because
he hasn't played well, or he hasn't stayed healthy. He hasn't been consistent. He's been a shell of what he was in Houston. So I imagine that frustration. Watson knows how good he was at one point. In his mind, he knows how good he still is. But he hasn't shown that. That's got to be really, really damaging to your psyche.
That's what I think he's talking about. You can't have a discussion about what he's dealt with over the last few years without bringing up the allegations. That all said, you know, he believes that he did not do anything wrong. We will never know. I think a lot of people have accepted that, and I think that a lot of us try to move on with it. For him, I think it's the stuff of when he sees these QB rankings and he says he doesn't care about them. I think he probably does. I think there's a big, and this is a terrible pun, there's probably going to be a big chip on his shoulder because, I mean, he is not mentioned with the best of the best with where he used to be. And he hasn't played like the best of the best. So he can't be mentioned at that. Now, I think that there are some that, because of the previous stuff, because of the guaranteed contracts, there are some in the media who do not want him to do well and will probably rank him lower on that. But, I mean, when we go through it and talk about it, what has he really proven to show that he's a part of the elite still? He hasn't proven anything. There's the history of what we have. There's the memory of what we have. That's 4 years old. So there's not a lot there. So, I mean, I think if he's paying attention to anything, I do think he is paying attention to that stuff. I do. The other part of it is I think it's bothering him. And I think it bothers him that there are flashes and he's not able to capitalize on them. And we go back. I will keep going back to that Baltimore game until the cows come home, until the first game of the season where we can't really talk about the Baltimore game anymore because he's going to be on the field against the Dallas Cowboys. And then we just talk about game by game. Like, I think right now with Deshaun Watson, he's very game by game with the fans. If he goes out there and throws for 300 and three touchdowns and they beat Dallas, Monday is going to be a very big day. If it's the opposite and they lose and he throws for three picks, it's going to be very ugly. And people are going to draw long-term conclusions, more than likely, on that game. Now, if he does well, then I think some people are going to go, okay, we're feeling better. Some people absolutely go nuts. But a lot of people, okay, we're feeling better. Let's see what you do in week two. Then let's build on that week three and week four. And then they'll come along with it. If he goes out there and they suck up the room against Dallas at home on a Sunday afternoon, in the national perspectives on Tom Brady's going to be in town for the whole thing. I mean, there's nowhere to hide. There's just nowhere to hide. It's such a big game.
And think about him at home last year, how we talked about it was almost once a game he'd get booed for whatever play. In games they were winning, by the way, that he was getting booed.
Yes.
So it has got to be such a departure from where he was earlier in his career, where it looked like the league, he's going to have him in the palm of their hands.
Yeah.
And now we're wondering, what is he even in Cleveland at this stage, to the point where those executive tiers, which, folks, the people around the NFL love so many of your players. So you can't say, oh, they're hating on Cleveland, they're hating on Cleveland. No, mm-hmm. I mean, look at where even Nick Chubb after the injury. Miles Garrett,
they
look
love
at where Nick. He was.
They love
Denzel
Miles,
Ward,
they love your offensive line,
me?
They love Denzel Ward.
They loved everything. Do you know in the piece about the quarterbacks, they went top 10 and then honorable mention. In that piece, there ended up being 17 or 18 quarterbacks referenced. Deshaun Watson's name was not even in there. Can you fathom that if I would have told you that 5 years ago?
I've become so receptive to any sort of thing that's said about him. Good, bad, indifferent, doesn't matter. That I was watching, even though I didn't see any of the Olympics up until this morning, I did watch episodes 3 and 4 of Hard Knocks during the offseason, and they were going over quarterbacks. on possibly replacing Daniel Jones, which I thought they did it really well, by the way. They were going over the quarterbacks, and they went down this list. Did you see the checklist at all?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to explain this to you right on. So they're going through the quarterbacks from 2014 to now, okay, over the last 10 years. And in blue are the hits. In red are the misses. And he was there as a miss. Now, I'm sitting there going, geez, Martin is a miss. And I'm thinking, well, okay, was that a miss with Houston? Or is that a miss overall or whatever? Because with Houston, he was a hit. Right now, it looks like he's not worth the money. And they were going over that. But I had to notice that. I said, okay, there he is in red right there. I mean, I'm noticing something on Hard Knocks, for crying out loud. Like, I'm looking for things that I can find that can be a positive, that gives me some sort of tea leave that he's going to be great. Because it's like, well, he looks great down at the Greenbrier. Okay, well, he looked great last year at the Greenbrier. A lot of people look good at the Greenbrier. It's a Greenbrier. It's supposed to look good. It's opulent. But as far as the actual in-game stuff, I think he's frustrated. He has to be. Because it's been fits and spurts, one step forward, two step back. Whether it be injury or whatever, mostly it is injury.
But that was my next question.
That it's got to be frustrating to him.
Is all of this something, because you could sense, I mean, it was almost visible, the frustration that he's had with the struggles over the first 2 years. Do you think it's more physical or mental?
I think it's been a bit of both. When he's talking about the scripted plays and some of that, I think that that's why you bring in a guy like Ken Dorsey. I think that that's why you bring in somebody who has that understanding of what makes a guy like him tick. I think that Kevin Stefanski still calling plays is the right move, because he's done a good job. I know that a lot of people didn't like that Kevin Stefanski still calling plays when he announced that, I believe, on Thursday. I still thought it was probably the right move for them. I don't think it's going to work out great for Kevin Stefanski, and I'll explain that a little bit later on after Daryl joins us at 8. But I think that anything you can do to fix him, I'm not saying save him right now, but I have to stress how important a year this is going to be for everybody involved. Because if he doesn't have a great year, then fans are giving up on him. The organization may very well do it, and he may just give up on himself. Because a lot of people are accusing him of, hey, I got my $230 million guaranteed. I don't have to do anything, and I'm going, guys, from everybody I talk to and everything that I know and everything that I see, that is not true. You could say a lot of things about him, but that is not true. He's worked as hard as he possibly can
to come back,
to be a good quarterback. And I'm telling you right now, if we go into a third year and it's still meh, then I do wonder if he just kind of goes, you know what, I got my money and that's it. Because I've seen a lot of players in a Browns uniform go, hey, I've got my money and
but
that's it.
I am so glad you brought that up. And I know we got to go. 216-474-0092. Because you just said,
it's a critical year.
You know for a fact how hard he's working.
He has.
What do the fans that don't like him say? Oh, he was in Saudi Arabia. He was in Mexico. He was here. He was at the islands. He was here.
The president gets vacations, and they work really hard.
I know, but fans don't even want to see him on vacation. They don't want to know anything other than him getting better at football the offseason. So we've reached that point with him at this juncture.
If you are a Steelers fan, if you're a Browns fan, if you're a Kansas City fan, if you're one of those fans out there, it'll hit home with you, but in a different way. That coming up at 8:20. 216-474-0092. So what you brought up Watson and what he's dealing with, and we'll get to the stadium stuff coming up here in about 8 minutes. You brought up Watson and what he's dealing with.
Don't you think he has been cool and calm every time I've ever seen him in front of a camera?
Yeah.
I've said I don't know if he's the best communicator in general, right? I mean, he's not the most verbose. But what I mean is nothing ever seems to really get to him. Anytime I've seen him interviewed about, you know, an upcoming season, anytime during the season, dealing with injuries, it was different this weekend. It seems like he has a bunch of frustration about how this has gone, collected over the course of not just 2 years. I mean, that seemed like 4 years.
Yeah.
Of that kind of was all balled up that he was dealing with.
Yeah, and I think he's fighting. I really do think he's fighting an uphill battle with, you know, the way he's seen by fans. And I'm not even starting. I'm looking at what he's done in a Browns uniform. You know, nothing else. Okay, I think it's an uphill battle just because of who they had to trade. You know who eventually, because he demanded it. They had to trade. You know who when they traded for him, and that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. Then you have what he's done since. And what he's done since, again, has been fits and spurts and one step forward and two step back over the last 2 years. And I think that he knows that, and I think that he's frustrated by that, because it has to be frustrating to, when you do well, you get injured. When something goes your way, you get injured. The Tennessee game, man, it was 289 and three touchdowns. It was a workmanlike effort. Like, the first drive, he had to make some things happen, and then the rest, it just, things fell into place for them offensively. They were, and that's a good natural pass rush, by the way. He was able to get around it. He was able to do some things differently there, and it was such a good day at the office for him. You're looking at it going, this is where maybe it takes off. It's game three of the season now. They had the horrific nighter, Monday night, was it Monday night or Sunday night, or forget, Monday nighter against Pittsburgh. We're past that now. Now things can take off here. Nope, he's hurt. And the next week went terrible. And then he comes back too early, because I'm telling you, that's where I was with the Indianapolis game. I know everybody says, well, he's 5-1 as a starter. They count the Indianapolis game because he started that game. You and I know he was terrible in that game. And then he gets knocked out of that game, and I thought it was, and that's why I was afraid of him playing against Arizona a couple of weeks later, because I didn't really want him to go out and try to force it again just to prove to himself and to everybody that he still has it, which is what I think he was doing against Indianapolis. And then he's out the next week, and he comes back out against Arizona. Turns out I was wrong. He was good in that game. Then goes out the next week against Baltimore. Turns in one of the worst first halves we've ever seen. Follows it up with one of the greatest second halves I've ever seen. And then he's out for the rest of the season. It has to be frustrating to find something for a moment that you used to have and then have it go away in a second. Find it again and then have it go away in a second. And now he's got to know that it's been 4 years since he's really been a top-end quality quarterback. That time, he's lost that time, and now he's running out of it. And so when people accuse him of, well, I don't think he's working very hard. Why? Well, I saw on Instagram he was in Saudi Arabia. Okay, well, I can tell you, on a Bible, in a courtroom, he's working as hard as he can. That's why this year is the pivotal year. Because I don't, if he can't get it this year, I think that might just be where he gives up on himself. I mean, because it would be, then you're talking 5 years since you've been a great quarterback.
Right. Which, if you're talking, is, you're 5 years
since,
that.
Since you, it's been 5 years since you've been a quote unquote great quarterback. He kind of is what you is. I mean, what that, you is might be a middling back end quarterback if
Russell
you can't
Wilson,
get it going this year.
Isn't that the conversation about Russ?
Yes.
So, boy, it is so interesting to me that
I think he's as bad as Russell is. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Russ was better than him statistically last year. So this true. this is where I come to this kind of a crossroads here. I asked you last segment, physical or mental with Deshaun Watson?
I think that the physical blends into the mental.
What do you think the Browns thought?
What, going this year? Or what do you mean, getting him in the trade?
What do you think the Browns think was holding him back? Physical, mental? Because I'll tell you the one thing they did do, change the offense. Did they change the offense because they thought it was a physical thing or a mental thing with Deshaun?
Probably a little bit of column A and column B. Because you have to play different if you're hurting. I mean, we've seen that. I mean, he's a big enough body where you can kind of throw the football if your ribs aren't feeling great. Yeah, he's a big enough size. That's where, you know, people took this all personally with Baker. I was like, no, it's not personal. It's just, this is the truth of it. He's not that big a guy. He needs his entire body to really get the velocity. When he hurt his shoulder, he couldn't get his whole body into it. I mean, it's just a breakdown of kinesiology, for crying out loud, guys. With him, he's a big enough body, he can do it. So for us, it looks kind of similar to what he's done, but they know the ins and outs of it, and they know that there's problems. And also, because there's those problems, I think that does affect his confidence. Well, you need somebody to help you see the clarity of things and make this offense sing for you now in season three. And with Kevin Stefanski calling plays, see, I thought it might be with Kevin. He would step away from play calling, oversee the entire thing. Ken Dorsey would call the plays. Then they could see how it works. I think it's going to go the opposite direction. I think Ken Dorsey kind of gives an overlay of what everything's going to go on with the offense. Kevin's going to call the plays, and then they'll put their scenarios together. And their scenario together might turn into a disaster. But it's supposed to be all for the benefit of Deshaun Watson. And that can't be anything but a little bit of mental with it. Yeah, it has to be. And this is an offense that, really, when you break it down, I know it's complex, and I know that there's things that are there, but when he goes into his most natural state, Stefanski, with his offense and play calling, it's kind of simple. But now you have a quarterback that you don't want to simplify it for. You want to make the best of what abilities he has, because Kevin Stefanski's called offenses for quarterbacks who do not have the physical capabilities of what Deshaun Watson has. Now you're trying to make the best of that.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That, and that's why Ken Dorsey's here.
I mean, the explosive plays all came the minute Joe Flacco took over. So all of a sudden, you're seeing new features of the Stefanski offense that we did not see with the previous quarterback, with the guy who's now the quarterback again. Yeah. That is the hard part for fans to truly digest. Like, it's another moving part. It just adds more information to this debate that we're having about Watson and what he can do and what he can't do.
It's tough, because I can't sit there on July 29th and ask people, do you think Watson's going to be good or not this year? One, I don't think I'm going to like the answers. Two, it's not that great of a question. So all we have to do as fans is sit here and chew the fat and go over any sort of thing that we saw, whether it was preseason throws. I don't know if he's going to play much in the preseason. Was that discussed earlier?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it came up definitely on Friday, because new offensive coordinator. We didn't know about the play calling situation. We were assuming it was going to be a new play caller. That obviously didn't happen with the news on Thursday that it wasn't.
Here's Kevin on him.
I think you always have to look at every decision and what's in the best interest of the club and the best interest of the player. We have some time before we make that decision. You know, I've done it a bunch of different ways for different players over the years. And really the whole goal is to get ready for this season and beyond and get ready for September 8th. So if we feel like it's important to play, we'll do that. If we feel like it's not, we'll do that.
Here's Deshaun Watson on playing in the preseason.
That's a Kevin decision. If I'm playing, I'm on the field, I got to go out there and perform. So anytime I'm on that field, I'm competing. And if I play, and then I play. And if not, then I support my teammates.
I don't know if that's as much a Kevin decision as you have to sit down and collaborate on something like that. I mean, he is the franchise quarterback. We all know this thing sinks or swims based on what he does. If he feels he needs preseason reps, then I'd put him out there. I would. You have to play your ones a little bit longer than you might want to, but you have to put him out there. And you have to make sure he's protected by your ones.
I mean, in the past, I've said, especially after, you know, Sean McVay led the way, changed, really evolved the thinking of, I think, everybody in the NFL, when kind of was like, these guys don't really need to be out there, do they? With Deshaun, I've changed. I flip-flopped. Like, I do think this year he needs to be out there a little bit. I think it's going to make the biggest difference in the world? I don't know. And are you exposing him to injury? I would hope not, because I would like to think that it's so pre-programmed. You're going over some specific things.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lose my mind if he doesn't play at all, but I wouldn't be shocked then if he totally struggles in the first half against Dallas and you're down 14 points. Like, but that would not shock me.
It wouldn't either, but I think that it has to be discussed between the two, because, again, you have to figure out if the first game of the season is going to be those reps. And I hate, and I'll finish up with this, because I know we got to get to a call and we wanted to talk about the stadium stuff. I didn't like that when Sean McVay did it, it just became the blueprint for everybody else to say it. I think it goes team by team. Sean McVay, when he has Matt Stafford's a veteran, knows what the hell he's doing, okay? Matt Stafford and his offense, they're good together. I think it's been kind of underrated about how well they've all worked together, and they won a Super Bowl, for crying out loud. But you have a team that you got a lot of veterans on that team. Or you haven't had a first round pick, and so this year was the first round pick they had in what, 6 years, 7 years, whatever it was. So you had a team that was veteran laden, kind of knows what they're doing. But with a lot of other teams, it's going to be bad first weeks, bad second weeks because it's sloppy. They haven't been on the field that much together. I don't think every team could just afford to not play players in the preseason. I don't think that that's the way to do it. And for the Browns, hey, you got a lot of veterans on this team. Myles Garrett doesn't have to play in the preseason. Neither does Denzel Ward. If Nick Chubb were healthy and we weren't talking about the injury, and he looks pretty healthy and getting back, but if we weren't talking about the injury, no way that any of us want to play Nick Chubb in the preseason. But when Deshaun Watson's coming back, and part of this is physical, but I think that the physical part has affected the mental ability of what he's going to want to do in this season in terms of trusting his offense, the confidence he has in his offense, then maybe he wants to be out there in the field a little bit. Get some work in. You get some confidence back in the shoulder. Get some confidence back in his receivers. Be able to digest what he wants in an offense. It's not going to be a lot of hardcore stuff because you're not going to show a lot of things. But if it helps build Watson's confidence, then yeah, hell, I'm all for it. Jeffrey in Cleveland, you're first up on the Fan. Hello.
Okay, so this is my question to you guys. Is Kev taking this Dorsey guy under his wing, or is Dorsey taking Kev under his wing?
I don't think there's anybody taking anybody under any wings. I think it's probably a shared sort of thing there, Jeffrey.
Well, listening to Kev speak, he is very concise and he is very adamant that I'm calling the play. It sounds like Kev taking this guy under his wing.
Last week I made the point on Friday when it emerged that he was going to call the plays and continue calling the plays. I think Ken Dorsey may not have wowed Stefanski.
Thank you for the call.
I think Dorsey might not have wowed him the way that, you know, he might have been hoping. I think it was generally, if you take Kevin Stefanski at his word, that it had not been solidified who's going to call the plays. I think it's pretty clear by the fact that Stefanski is still the one calling his plays, that Dorsey came over here. You know, they had all their meetings. He picked his brain. I think that Dorsey came here thinking he was going to have a chance to call the plays. Didn't happen. Well, why else would that have been?
The chance to call the plays, not the guarantee to call the plays.
Sure. So why didn't it happen?
Well, probably because Kevin Stefanski, like a lot of coaches, I find he's very collaborative. But I
think he would have had to be blown away.
Yes.
And he just wasn't blown away.
Yes. Trust is a very, very tough thing to earn with a football coach. And especially with something that they've controlled for a very long period of time.
And by the way,
a very difficult thing to give up.
Stefanski's been successful doing.
It's true. Here's Jimmy Haslam, by the way. The stadium was talked about over the weekend. Here's Jimmy Haslam talking about the stadium situation with your Cleveland Browns.
This is a big project, okay? No matter which direction we go into, it's complicated. Anytime you have a public-private partnership, it's not easy. We're continuing to work through the process, and we hope sooner rather than later we'll have a solution. I can assure you we were on the phone for an hour this morning talking about various things that have to be solved and one solution or the other, and we'll continue to do so.
Here's Jimmy on the Fans.
That is driving 90% of the decision making. What's best for our fans? Because these are long, long term decisions. This isn't a 5-year decision, a 10-year decision. It's at least a 20-year decision, maybe more. So what is best for our fans will ultimately drive what we do.
I'd hope it'd be more like a 30-year decision, but you have to make sure you have the right infrastructure within the stadium to be able to make necessary changes with changing tastes in American sports. Here is Jimmy on whether or not if it's the Brook Park or renovation situation.
If we go to Brook Park, and I'm not saying we are, that's a $2.4 billion project, plus the real estate development around it, which make about $3.5 billion. That would be the third or fourth largest construction project ever done in Ohio. If we remodel our existing stadium and spend $1 billion, that's more than Sherwin-Williams is spending on their downtown office building. So the complexity of these, getting the design right, the cost right, making sure you can finance it, how much equity it's going to take, working with city, county, and state just takes time. And everybody is working hard on it.
One more for you here. Here's D. Haslam on trying to solve the issues with the current stadium.
I just think we're really trying to solve a lot of the problems with the current stadium. Safety for the fans getting in and out of the stadium, make it easier for them. It's really complex to get all that worked out and solved. So I think those are some of the major issues we're trying. Functionally, we have a lot of issues with the current stadium that we're trying to solve.
I know I had the obligation to play that for everybody, but my opinion did not really change listening to Jimmy and D. Haslam. I still question whether or not the powers that be in the city actually want them in downtown Cleveland anymore.
Yeah, and then the way that they're basically dumping on the existing structure. I mean, they're telling you, I mean, listen to the language used.
Well, it needs
to talk about it. And their case has been pretty adamant and pretty consistent over the past, I would say, 6 months, 6 to 8 months. They're like, man, it is just going to cost a lot of money to continually work on the upkeep of that facility and where it is. It's just going to something we're going to always have to be doing. Even though, you know, maintenance and repairs are something they'd have to do with the new structure, too.
Yeah, but I don't want to turn it.
You could just tell. They're just not thrilled with the prospects of having to stay in that same location.
U.S. Bank was built. It's pristine, and it still needed $700 million worth of improvements. Sparsed out over a couple of years, obviously. I understand that. But I also know that I don't want to be having this conversation, throw $1 billion at the problem right now at the stadium, and then do this all over again in 8 years. Or 7 years, for crying out loud. Well, I don't want to do that.
And then every time you have a bad weather game, which it seems like the majority now are bad weather games at that stadium, having the empty seats that they have, having the lack of, you know, purchasing that's going on in that. I mean, they have the numbers on that. They know that when they brought to the Bears game, when they brought the governor and the commissioner to that game last year, it was another bad weather game. You think they were looking at that going, yeah, this is the future?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
Oh, so Kenny's back into the golfing realm, apparently.
Well, I was, and now I want to talk about something completely different. I was going to be like, hey, should I get comfortable golfing with other people? Even though, because I dreaded this moment on Saturday for the longest time of golfing in a golf outing, knowing I'm a terrible... I had the best round I've had in years, and I'm still the worst golfer, I think, on the course on Saturday. That says something. And I wanted to golf again, and then, like, we go to break, and something about Lima, you don't lock the door to the bathroom when you go to the bathroom?
No, never. Unless I'm going number two, no. If I'm doing a quick pit stop, it's always been...
Yeah, but I'm talking the work bathroom. Here, you never lock that door.
I've never locked that door.
Are you insane?
I'm always in and out, less than 20 seconds.
Well, we know you don't like going to public places, I get that. Now, this is semi-public because it's a workplace restroom. How do you not lock the door?
I've just never done it. I've never felt the need to.
Like, people barge right through there. If the light's on, they're going to check that door handle and see if it's locked. That's how people know someone's in there.
It's weird. If I see the door shut, I've never even taken a step towards that.
Oh, if both doors are shut?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of... I'm not kidding. There's been a lot of times where I've given the old... And no one's been in there. Someone just closes the door behind
sometimes
them.
People might do things that they don't want other people knowing about, and they keep the door shut afterwards.
Okay, that might be true. But
just to help the fan situation.
Okay, I didn't think about that, but there's been... I cannot
but
tell you
I
how many
agree
times.
With you, Anthony, I've never looked at that and went, door shut, gonna go check out the thing. Yeah. But I've been in there several times where people do a little jiggle and a knock. And like,
yeah.
There's, what, 12 of us here right now, at most.
Yeah. So there's a dozen. And then there's probably people coming in on the other side. They come over here.
Well, that's the other thing, though. They're the two bathrooms over there. So
yeah,
I would
they don't use them.
Assume if the doors are shut here, you'll just run across, and because that's what I've done.
Well,
I haven't really had to go. Or we have the access.
Crossing the bridge to the other side.
We also have the access to the bathroom down in the lobby.
Yeah, but I've never been.
There's a hidden bathroom that we have access to.
Yeah, that one's a good one. I ain't going to tell anybody about that one. That's a great bathroom. Ain't going to tell anybody. I just can't believe you don't lock the door behind you. How do you not lock the door behind you?
I've just never felt the need to. And even, I mean, I'll say when I had all my roommates back in the day, whether it was at Ohio State or whatever, it was just, I just never felt the need to when I'm doing that.
When I was in college, I left the door unlocked. My first year, this is at the Brown Street dorms, which now the stadium sits at, that beautiful stadium that is always, hopefully it'll be beautiful because no one goes there, so it might as well be beautiful. I was at the Brown Street dorms. I left the door unlocked. As a gag, my buddies came in. They took all my clothes and ran off with them. And so I'm there. It, obviously, I didn't look like I look now, but I'm there bare-ass naked. And I'm walking around, and I just decided, I was locked out of my room. They locked the door to my room, took everything. That was their big gag on me. So I'm walking up and down the hallways naked looking for anything. RA comes around. And since then, I've always locked the door. I never not locked the door. It's like, well, it's my fault. Just someone give me my clothes back. They found it behind a fire extinguisher on the second floor. But that was where it was at. And so I've always locked the door, whether it be a workplace, whether it be home. It doesn't matter. You're locking that door, especially with kids. Your kids are old enough to walk in on you now. You got to lock that door.
Well, I mean, most...
Lock the door.
Most... at home, too? No, because Izzy's dying to get in there and talk to us at all times.
You leave the door unlocked?
She loses her mind if she's on the other end and starts bawling and starts throwing a temper tantrum.
Oh, no.
So that's why...
Cry all day. I don't care. I'm getting my privacy here. I'm not... No, you're not walking in on this. No. No. Not at all. What are you laughing about over there? She gets mad if she can't. What?
Just you're letting the almost two-year-old run the house right now on that stuff.
No, that's why they are who they are.
It's just so much easier to get that amount of peace to where she's not losing her mind. It's worth it.
Well, that's why you want.
I don't want eyes staring at me when I'm in the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't matter.
Eli doesn't believe in privacy. He'll walk into anywhere at any given time, and so if you don't lock the door, he's walking in. It doesn't matter what the scenario is.
I kind of think it's funny. So. It's still at the adorable phase. I'm sure it'll get to a point where it's no longer
okay,
adorable.
Okay, what if she becomes 7 years old and still does it like Eli does?
Well, that's what I mean. It's not, at that point, it's just creepy and weird.
Yeah, and I tell them to get the hell out of here because it's creepy and weird.
I think with kids, there still is an adorable innocence phase when they're at the toddler age.
To some level, maybe. But I wanted to teach that. This is the difference between boys and girls. I wanted to teach that a lot earlier. Either way, I got bit by the bug. This goes right into what you're saying, where you let the two-year-old run the household. I'm never going to be able to golf with you again, is what you're telling me? Even for a 9 coming up in a couple of weeks, I can't scratch out 9 with you?
It is amazing. Between the grocery runs that I am doing right now, it never ends. I can't believe how often I have to leave the house. I take one of the kids, take both the kids, because again, she's working, but she's working from home.
Okay.
And her parents are only available during a certain amount of time. So I'd have to punt that to her. She has to take a day off. Like for me.
But you're the only person I'm comfortable golfing with.
I know, but it's just not worth her using the few days. It's not like some people get to take off as much time as they want every week out of the year. Must be nice.
That's 2 weeks off this year.
That's not the case.
Name the name.
Oh, I'm not talking about you.
I thought you were talking about me. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. Let's put the safety back on. I didn't realize
that. Not everybody has the flexibility to be able to do that. Congratulations on your success. You've been able to work that in over time.
I'm not the year, by the way, so let's keep moving on there. But my whole point of it is that now I want to golf. I don't have much time myself. And before, it was easy. It had to work out perfectly for you. Because I stopped hounding you for golf last year because it's just like, this is never going to happen for me. It's over. That's it. And because it's like, all right, this is a golf outing. It's a good cause. I do have one bit of time here because I took last week off. So I'm like, I'm going to be in the golf outing. That's fine. And I told you, I was dreading it the entire week. I was dreading it the last week I was on with you guys. The whole week it was in the back of my head going, here comes Saturday. Whatever's going to happen.
And you had a blast.
I had a good time with everybody else. It made me feel better that the one guy who was in my group was, he struggled at first, and then he got the rhythm, and he was much better than me. But he duffed his first tee shot, so everything was fine with me from then. And I kind of was able to relax, and I was remembering the tutelage that you and Barry gave me. And now I'm like, I just played just well enough where now I want to play.
Oh, that's so funny. You did the
just thing. Good enough.
You did exactly what I've done so many times, which is root for another guy to be terrible.
Yes.
But then what you realize is, okay, most people that are terrible are also really slow, and it can ruin the round.
No, I play very fast.
So I should not be rooting for somebody to be terrible. I should just accept the fact that I'm not that good, but play fast.
I think it did help me a little bit that I did bother to take a couple of practice swings. And there was one swing that I swung and I didn't hit, and we made a joke of it being a practice swing.
That's normal.
But everything else went well. What I'm asking you, are you telling me I should just accept new partners? That sounds weird. New golfing buddies.
Unfortunately, I think for the next decade
or so.
That's just going to be the way it is. I can't see a window where I'm even able to get out.
You make it so much easier, though. You don't care. Your teaching is so good. You drive. I don't have to drive the cart. He insists on driving. It's just like my parents back in the day. It's so easy. Don't leave me. Please.
I miss it. Please. You telling me about your weekend, it got me wanting to do it again. But it's just, I have to like do this 4 weeks out to be able to get the window.
What's the godfather doing? He can't watch the kids. He's supposed to be a godfather. I'm not the godfather. You should be able to go golf with me while the godfather watches him. That was the whole big deal of Jim being the godfather.
Well, also just, I have no friends on the West Side right now. Barely any friends whatsoever.
You're in the Bay Village Men's Club. Find something.
They're all older. The kids are all older.
Wait a minute. The older kids can watch the younger kids. It's called babysitting, man. Yeah,
it's time to join the Bay Village Babysitters Club.
I know. The wife doesn't trust anybody yet.
Soon enough, she'll be joining the Bay Village First Wives Club.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.